Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Welcome to Coffee and Devotions. It's so good to be with you today. This is where every day you and I, we get together, we get into the Lord's Word, and we grow in our love for the Lord together. And this year, 2022, we'll go from the book of Acts to the book of Philemon. Today, we start Romans chapter 1. Need to apologize. I was planning on getting here on Monday and then thinking maybe yesterday. My grandmother is now with the Lord, and so plan to go to California. It's been kind of a little bit rough for me thinking through things, and not because my faith has been lacking, but sometimes you just need to take a step back and spend some time praying and enjoying some time with family as you wrestle through and think through things. So anyways, why don't we go ahead and pray now, and we'll get into the Lord's Word, and I'm so excited to get into God's good news with you today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you for the eternal hope we have in our Savior. And we pray now that as we read these words, our hearts would be filled with thanks for all of your love and kindness. In Jesus' name, amen. Here we go. We are at Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 15. Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 15. Let's go ahead and go to God's word together now. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. To all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if, by some means, now at last I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established, that is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now, I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles. I am a debtor, both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. So much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. We need to stop and ask ourselves, A, what is this about? B, what's the best verse to summarize this? And C, what are we called to do in response to these words? So what is this about? What's Paul getting at, right? This is the introduction to his letter to the Romans. This is the epistle to the Romans. This is the big dog of the epistles. It's not like any others of them. It is a systematic letter of the Christian faith, and it probably would have taken the people back a little bit, right? Over 7,000 words in the Greek, the longest of the epistles, and a class in and of itself, a treasure of Christian wisdom, a gift from the Spirit to the church in Rome and to us today. And it would have taken the Romans aback a little bit. This is not the normal letter they're used to. See, Paul knew people in Rome, but Paul hadn't been able to get to Rome. Paul knew people there. As we go to chapter 16, we're able to see that he knew all sorts of people from there. He had met people who had been expelled from Rome during Claudius's reign and had interacted with them. We dealt with those people in the book of Acts that we had just looked at a few months ago. But now he's sitting here and he's loving on the people, and he's going to give them God's word. And he's excited to meet with them. And he gives one of the longest introductions, right? Most of the time in Greek letters, the introduction is really small. From person A to person B, here, greetings, right? And he would just say, or if it was a group, herete, right? So greetings to you all. But here, he's got this long introduction who he is. He is Paul, a slave of Jesus Christ. And what does he say? He is called to be an apostle. This wasn't done by human hands, but it was God himself who called Paul to be an apostle when he had this miraculous road on Damascus experience where Jesus Christ himself calls him to be his apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. And he goes on and he qualifies what this good news is, what his apostleship is. He is the one sent by God himself. He is a slave of God. And he's got one thing he's supposed to do, to go and herald the gospel, to go and proclaim the good news, to go and speak truth to the Jews first and also to the Gentiles, to go and proclaim his Lord, Jesus Christ, and the coming of the kingdom of God. It is this that he points out in verse 2, whom he promised before his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Paul is absolutely consumed with this idea that it's Jesus who is his Lord. And he is going to preach Jesus Christ. He is going to proclaim him. He's going to proclaim his life and his death and his resurrection from the dead. And we get hints of this all over the place here, right? It talks about his life, his incarnation concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David. See, he was truly man, but he was not just born of any ordinary stock. What does this tell us? It says that he was born of that royal line of David. He is the Messiah. He is the Christ. He is the anointed one. He is the King of Kings. According to the flesh, though, because see, there's something different about Jesus, even though he was born according to the flesh. What does verse 4 say? And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Holy Spirit, according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. See, he is not just by the flesh, the seed of David, but he is the very Son of God himself. Through him. This is through Jesus. I love it. Through him, we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among the nations for his name, among whom you also were called of Jesus Christ. See, he says that it's this grace that he's received. He was saved by his grace. And now he's excited to tell them, you were saved also by that grace. And it's with that foundation laid that he gets the actual formal greeting in verse 7. To all who are in Rome. And so as he talks to those who are in Rome, what does he call them? Beloved of God, called to be saints. Every single one of those who is beloved of God is those who have been transferred from the kingdom of darkness and into his kingdom of light. They have been taken from a normal use and put to a royal use. You are a child of God. You are beloved of God. And this is what he's telling them in Rome. And he says, and in the second part of verse 7, grace to you, right? God's favor shines upon you. And peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no more enmity between God and man, but in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have God's favor and we have reconciliation. We have peace. Paul's going to unpack this as he writes out his letter. I'm sure the Romans, when they picked up this letter at first, their ears were tuned in, their minds were piqued. What is going on here? This is a weird introduction, and I hope it's as good as what this introduction is, and it's going to prove to be the case. And then he talks about his prayer life. I thank my God always for you all. And he commends them for their faith. Everybody knows the reputation of their faith in verse 8. That your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. And then he says in verse 9, for God is my witness. And what is God his witness for? What would God testify on his behalf? That without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by some means, now that at last I may find a way in the will of God to come to you, right? He says he goes to the Lord. He goes to his father and he prays. He prays always. He remembers them. He thanks God for their faith. He hasn't even met them face to face. Maybe some of them, but most of them, no. And he says he wants to go, and he keeps praying that somehow he'll be able to make his way to Rome. And so he says he wants to go there. And why does he want to do that? Verse 11 and 12. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established, right? He wants to root them in Jesus Christ. He wants to build them up in Jesus Christ. He wants them to be established in their faith. He wants the foundation of their faith to be firm. He wants to be a gift and a blessing to them. And he says, that is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Right? Isn't this wonderful? Sometimes we think of the apostles, right? They're like the guys way up here. And he's saying, I want to be encouraged by you, and I want to encourage your faith. And then he goes on in verse 13 through 15. And what does he say? He says that he longs to be with them. He wants to go there. He's often planned to come to you, but he was hindered until now, that I may have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles, right? He wants to see their gifts of the Spirit growing and abounding. He wants to see them united to Jesus Christ and abounding in much good fruit. He wants to see them flourishing in their Christian faith. And he says, I am a debtor, both to Greeks and to barbarians, and both to the wise and to the unwise. So much as is in me, I am ready to preach to you the gospel, to you who are in Rome also. He wants to go and he wants to proclaim to them. He wants to preach the word of God to them. He wants to open up the whole counsel of God. This was his practice, right? He'd go into the synagogues, and then when they get tired of him showing from the Old Testament all the way through the prophets how Jesus Christ had to come and how he fulfilled all the promises, then he would go to the Gentiles and he would do the same. He would proclaim to everyone Jesus Christ and him crucified. And he longed to do that with them. Well, so what's this all about? Paul says, hey. He says, hi. It's his greeting. But it's his rich theological greeting, that grace and peace come in Jesus Christ. And he is praying for them. And he longs to speak with them more about this grace and peace in Jesus Christ. What's the best verse to underline this? Oh man, that's going to be hard. Probably verse 7 for me. There's more here. What would you underline in your Bibles? Let me know down in the comments if you're on Facebook or YouTube. What would you comment in your Bibles? Calling, what are we called to do? How does this apply to us? Let me ask you. Are you a servant of Jesus Christ? Now, we're not apostles, right? None of us are those who are specifically set apart and to go do that work of establishing the firm foundation of the church. The foundation, the cement's dry, right? The stones have been laid. But are you a servant of Jesus Christ? Is your identity bound up in Christ? Do you love to tell others about Jesus Christ? Do you know that it is in Jesus Christ that God's face shines upon you? Do you know that it is by the seed of David that you have a king who has brought peace between you and God? Did you know that you have a mediator and that Jesus Christ has unshackled you and has made you to come into God's presence without fear? Do you come to God through the God-man Jesus Christ? Do you follow after him? Do you love him? I'm so excited to get into this passage with you. I hope that you'll pray for me that I won't be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Because what we're about to read here in these passages is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, both to the Jew and the Gentile. And so I pray that you might experience the power of God in your life as we work through this book of Romans together. And I pray that you come face to face with sin and you know that God has made a way for you to be made right with him. I'm so excited to proclaim to you the good news of Jesus Christ. And I pray that you would be built up in your faith. I'd encourage you to build other people up in their faith. Thank you for praying for me and my family. I know many of you have been doing that over the last couple of days. Thank you for building me up in my faith as well. Let's pray now. God, I thank you so much for this day and for this word. Thank you that you have given us your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for all those listening today that they would be built up in their faith, that they might find their identities in Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that they would know that you have called them your beloved. If they know you, if they love you, if they believe in you, and that they would attain to even greater hope. We thank you for Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Well, may the Lord bless you today. May you walk in the joy and peace of Jesus Christ. And I'll see you tomorrow. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from God's Word for You, a ministry of Sharon RP Church in rural Southeast Iowa. We pray that the message would be used by God to transform your faith and your life this week. If you'd like to get more information about us, feel free to go to the website, SharonRPC.org. We'd love to invite you to worship with us. Our worship time is 10 a.m. every Sunday at 25204 160th Avenue, Morning Sun, Iowa, 52640. May God richly bless you this week.